Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
By Budget Committee, Judiciary Committee, and Representative Salzman, CSCS House Bill 757, a bill to be entitled an act relating to school safety.
Representative Salzman, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The first thing I want to do is take a moment of personal privilege and say you are the best looking speaker the Florida House has ever seen. Hello? I mean, come on, what? Are y'all asleep? Wake up. Okay.
You're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
I don't know if she's talking to the House floor or if she's talking to us or you know what, but hello, are you awake? Are you, anybody paying attention? Come on now.
It's, that's so Michelle.
I know. That's 100% a Michelle thing. It's Demi Bassada. I always thought her name was Demi Bassada Cabrera, but I don't. Anyway, it was her first time. She's in Michelle's class. The way they do the House is the people who all get elected for the first time in the same year are like a class, and you get 8 years in the House. So you get, I mean, 8 years in Senate too, but every 2 years. If you get reelected every time, then eventually you're all seniors together, basically, is kind of the concept. So, she and Demi Bassada are in the same class together. It was her first time, you know, being the speaker for several hours during the House session the other day. And the bill, you know, HB 757, which is the school security, the post-secondary school security bill, the Guardian bill, which is actually going to get a name change in the process of them talking about all this.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment simply names the bill the Armor Act, Active Response and Mitigation of On-Campus Risks Act.
So this is an act that Michelle has been working on all session, and it stems from her actually being on the campus of FSU taking classes when the school shooting took place last year.
April 17th, 2025, a mass shooting occurred on the campus of Florida State University. An active shooter opened fire near a student union area around noon, prompting emergency alerts and a lockdown. Students and staff sheltered in place or evacuated as gunfire was reported. Two were killed, six were injured. Members, we were all here that day a year ago, either in our committee rooms or in our offices. We all saw the news, we all got the alerts. It was a scary time. I was a student during that time, and on my phone, I was in group texts with some of the students on campus, and we were texting each other. Are you on campus? I'm not there. I'm in the Bellamy building. I'm over here. It was a tough time. It was a scary time. School was shut down for about a week. We came back, and it was a different place. But the question was, what are we going to do? What's next? How many times is this going to happen before we make it a safer place? And as a student and a lawmaker, I was uniquely qualified to answer that question.
So, pardon me, if I gave the impression, I don't think she was on camp. She was actually at Tallahassee in the legislature when this was happening. But as somebody who was also taking classes for her master's degree, obviously she was connected to that pretty closely. So what does the bill actually do? If you're not familiar with it, the short version is this bill is designed to take the ideas of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, the Parkland shooting bill, and that are good for campus safety for K-12, and not some of the, like, it's not like the red flags part. It's not the, 18-year-olds. I mean, all that's just a different subject. But the school hardening and then the Guardian concept is applied to post-secondary. So PSC and UWF, basically, locally, but any college campus, something beyond high school.
This bill addresses those gaps directly within four buckets. One, building hardening and physical safety. The bill strengthens protections by expanding school safety measures to public post-secondary institutions and reinforces the tools available for campus protection.
So that's part one, is the school hardening part. Part two, this is the controversial part.
Second, it expands the Guardian program. It authorizes public colleges and universities to participate in the Guardian program. The institution presidents must appoint qualified employees or faculty members who meet the same rigorous standards already required in K through 12, including background screenings, psychological evaluations, intensive training, and ongoing certification. It gives post-secondary campuses the same proactive protective option already used successfully on our K through 12 campuses.
Now, the one key difference, and this is going to be one of the key things that the opposition is going to fixate on, is it would allow professors, adjuncts, so forth, you know, teachers to carry, to be guardians. It, even though in the K-12 setting, that's not a part of the proposal, you know, this would allow for, you know, teachers to be able to be part of it, which I'm a huge supporter of. Having taught college, I always felt like the biggest problem that I had as a teacher was, and this is, you know, well after Columbine, you might wonder, when did I start teaching? Well, late, you know, in the 90s. So this is after school shootings had become a thing. And I always felt like, you know, here I am in this classroom responsible for these 25 or 30 kids. And, I, you know, somebody comes through that door, it's kung fu between me and them, between him and them, you know, and that's not enough. You know, kung fu in a 9mm is better than a kung fu alone, you know. And I thought, well, you know, so I always wanted to be able to carry in the classroom. And, of course, you can't because it's always been prohibited in schools.
Third, threat assessment and prevention. This bill requires post-secondary institutions to establish formal threat management teams, conduct annual security risk assessments using the Florida Safe Schools Assessment Tool, and adopt active assailant response plans. Faculty and staff will now have to be trained to detect and respond to behavioral mental health warning signs, and institutions must connect students to appropriate mental health services.
So this is paying attention to who might become a threat. You know, you can't obviously know who's a threat that doesn't even go to the school. But, you know, of course, a lot of these cases involve kids who are, or, you know, adults who are students at the school, you know, turning against their own, so to speak. And if you have teachers trained and paying attention, then you have the ability to maybe avoid some of that stuff.
Fourth, communication and coordination. The bill requires institutions to promote and integrate the Fortify Florida Suspicious Activity Reporting Tool, ensures it is installed or bookmarked on institutional devices, and it strengthens expectations for clear emergency communication hierarchy and campus-wide alert systems. District safety specialists must also explain not just the procedures, but the purpose and the proper execution of safety protocols during training.
So all of this stuff combined is designed to make schools safer at the post-secondary, at, you know, colleges and universities, basically. Again, think, you know, PSC, George Stone, UWF, anywhere that's not K through 12, that's what they're designing this to do.
We took every piece of what happens in a response, and we found a way to create tools in the toolbox so that we don't let this happen, so that we can find before it happens. It's about prevention. And that is the bill, Madam Speaker.
So what do you think is going to be the nature of the objection? Well, there's a couple of them. One is that you're going to have an amendment to prohibit professors and TAs and adjuncts from being able to carry as guardians, right? That's going to be a big one, because that's going to be the biggest objection, is that the folks on the other side.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be dealing with a chance of some showers through the morning hours. 70.
Oh, hold on. I wonder if that's me. No, how is that possible? I think you've got an extra one open over there. Anyway, all right, so back to me. David is just played over our air. That's kind of fun. I love technology. Anyway, back to Michelle Salzman talking about the HB 757 Guardian program on the House floor this week. The objection is going to be that they do not want there to be TAs and professors and adjuncts approved as guardians carrying in the classroom.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800.
Okay, sorry about that. Two times. All right, so the key objection from the Democrats is going to be that they don't want the teachers to be carrying in the classroom because they think that somehow that's incompatible with their mission as teachers.
Major professors carrying guns on campus. I have a major issue with that, and the Guardian as well, because we have to admit, if they wanted to be to carry a gun, they would have been police officers. You know, they would have chosen another noble profession, which is police officer, FBI agent, or even armed security guard.
And this is one of the things that you kind of see in the process is that's Marie Paul Woodson. One of the things you see in this process is some very unusual ideas about what it means to use a gun and who should be able to use one. And the best way I can explain it is that the Democrats believe, and I don't think this is necessarily the first time that they've ever expressed this, but if you try to sort of make sense of the root of their objection, it's that the only people who should be allowed to carry a gun are people who are trained professionals who have devoted their lives and their careers to carrying a gun. So cops and or the military. They really, at bottom, don't believe that it's safe for anybody other than cops and the military to carry guns. They don't trust you, themselves, other people with carrying a gun. And it shows. And so it sounds a little, I mean, if you understand gun rights and you understand, you know, concealed carry or open carry or personal self-defense, this is a weird belief system. But their belief system, the best I can make sense of it, I was trying to understand people who have, you know, different beliefs from me, is that their objection to having, for example, teachers carry is they don't think anybody should be carrying. They think that a person with a gun is a threat. Nobody can be trusted with a gun except for a cop. And so when they say something like this, and, you know, now if you're, you know, a personal carry advocate, you say people carry guns all the time. It's not a problem. And they thwart and discourage and deter crimes all the time. I don't know why you think this is such a big deal. I'm just telling you they do. To them, anybody carrying a gun that's not a cop is a fundamental risk to everybody's safety. To us, individuals carrying guns is like individuals driving cars, you know? It's a dangerous thing. It's a powerful thing. But guess what? You know, everybody knows it's slinky. No, I'm so sorry. The ad syncopation came in my head. No, it's just, it's something that everybody does. It would be like, okay, look at all these car crashes, right? We got all these people dying, all this property damage, and all these car crashes. You know what? We need to let professionals drive. People who have devoted themselves to driving, people who have studied driving, people who have highly trained driving skills, and nobody else should drive. And the rest of y'all can depend on the professional drivers, and we can use public transit for everything. Let's get rid of all the cars, because if we get rid of all the cars, then we'll get rid of all the deaths. Maybe 30,000 people a year don't have to die because, you know, how many of those people are involved in bus crashes or taxi cab crashes, right? Let's get professional drivers only. Cars are very dangerous. It's kind of like if you had that view and everybody else would be like, well, I mean, I know it goes wrong a lot, but we're all actually pretty good at this. The norm statistically is nothing bad happens and lots of good happens when we drive. We don't have to just have driving for the professionals, but that's kind of the view that they have. The notion of people buying a gun and putting it in their purse or their holster in their inside their waistband or something, it's just like they cannot wrap their brain around that being a good thing. It's always a problem. Now, of course, what we say is, first of all, that's not always a problem. It's rarely a problem. And number two, a lot of other people do have the guns and are not going to obey that restriction. And so what do you do to protect against them? And their answer is, well, cops. And our answer is, how many? You know, where are they? How far away are they? And their answer is, well, a cop that's several minutes away is better than you in the classroom or anybody in the classroom having a gun. But it just, you know, the notion, it had never dawned on me exactly before when I was listening to this. It never had really clicked for me what it is that they are so how it's so incompatible the way they view guns and personal carry than the way I do or somebody. And so I appreciated them clarifying it for me. Because it sounds nuts. You know, you got to be a professional to carry a gun. Everybody can carry a gun. What's the big deal? Well, you just, again, you heard this kind of comment from several different people, including, I think it was at the most poignant when Angela Nixon, who is, John, help me, tell me to be a good Christian.
Be a real good one today.
Well, she's not the most capable legislator.
Okay.
That is the nicest way I can say it. Okay. But she had one of the best 20-second commentaries in this discussion. Prepare yourself. Okay.
And then, you know, I have like a security team and they try to like have me practice pulling a gun out and that type of stuff. And I ain't good at it. And so I can imagine a gun being turned on the professors. I don't think it's a good look. So thank you for this amendment.
I ain't good at it. Okay. But, and I know that's hilarious, right? Interesting disclosure. But that's their view. Their view is, well, I ain't no good at this. So nobody can be any good at this. And instead of putting guns in the hands of people and getting them trained and going through a long course of practice and whatnot, which is what a guardian would do, I just don't trust anybody other than a cop to have a gun. I don't really trust them anyway, you know, but at least there's only a few of them. That's their concept. The gun is so dangerous and so complicated and so difficult. And how do you get it out of the holster? And then aiming. Oh, my God, aiming. You know, that we just have to protect ourselves from the desire to carry them around, basically. That's their view. So anyway, this bill did go on and pass. Michelle gave a really great explanation and closed. It was kind of a funny moment because the Republicans didn't even bother arguing. Bunch of the Democrats got up and, you know, made their spiel about how guns are bad. And then the Republicans just said, yeah, we got nothing. And then they voted in the bill. It was actually kind of a hilarious moment. 525. Now, the Senate still has to do their thing, which they probably aren't going to do anything. But it's a pretty valiant effort by Michelle to make this happen. And it does something that had never been possible before, which is to allow teachers in the classroom to be able to carry at the university level, which, you know, almost any other part of the bill, I'd favor it just for that. But it's all the other parts that the Democrats all love. So I'm like, hey, the best of all worlds. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need any kind of work done on the complicated systems in your house, like the plumbing, the heating, the air conditioning, the electrical, generator, installed, maintained, replaced, whatever the case may be, Peden can take care of you for that. Robert Peden started the company back in 1969. The song, it's all about this. The summer's joke. Anyway, but he started his company in 1969 to do air conditioning. And then they expanded, of course, heating comes with that. Then they did, plumbing and electrical, and they expanded geographically from Panama City over to Tallahassee and east and west to, here, Pensacola, but more recently into Baldwin County and even across the water into Mobile. So they're all along the Gulf Coast, two time zones, two states, good quality people installing good quality products with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, they want you to beat the annual regulatory price bump. You know, laws change, so the equipment has to change. With Peden's new year-old stock sale, take up to $1,500 off remaining 25 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online at Peden, PEDEN.com.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430.
Again, 800-478-6430.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You ever hear something in the news and think, that can't be real? MVR breaks it down weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
All right, but apart from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, a fresh water system, and public health, what have the Romans ever done for us?
You know, of all the Rolling Stone songs, this is definitely one of my like top three, weirdly. Yeah. I mean, this is like, I love Satisfaction. You know, there's a lot of great songs.
Right.
You know, but Not Fade Away, for whatever reason, has always been that, catches me just the right way.
I mean, it's in my top five. I'll give you that.
All right. Yeah, I like it. That's an early one, too. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The gold medal winning U.S. women's hockey team is celebrating today in Las Vegas. They've got a special guest celebrating with them, Flava Flav. The rapper says he's partnering with the MGM Resorts for the She Got Game weekend celebration. There we go. July 16th through the 19th. And apparently he's extended invitations to the hockey team and other female Olympic and Paralympic medalists.
Everybody's waiting for me to say it, so I guess I'll just go ahead.
Yeah, boy!
That's what I was waiting for. Yeah, I'm telling you.
It's like an unpaid off bill if you don't say it somehow or other.
And President Trump will be in Southern Texas today for what is being called his affordability tour. He'll be in Corpus Christi to talk about energy and the economy.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I appreciate it. A lot of stuff to get to today. Coming up next, you can listen to our Mike Wood interview from yesterday. Fabulous insights from Mike Wood.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Former President Bill Clinton will answer questions this morning from the House Oversight Committee over his relationship with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. This comes 24 hours after his wife.
I answered every one of their questions as fully as I could.
That's former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who added,
I never met Jeffrey Epstein, never had any connection or communication with him. I knew Ghislaine Maxwell casually, as an acquaintance.
The Clintons are not accused of any wrongdoing. President Trump travels to the port city of Corpus Christi, Texas, which is the nation's leading exporter of liquefied natural gas and a top petroleum hub. And a third round of talks with Iran over its nuclear program does not result in a deal, but Oman's foreign minister touting significant progress. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. Our full forecast with Brooke Richardson is on the way here in just a few minutes. Well, a new government report found unexploded munitions near a sunken battleship off the Pensacola coast. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers discovered 8 ordnances buried a few feet under the seafloor around the USS Massachusetts. The ship had been used for target practice during World War II. Experts say it's unlikely that anybody would ever come across those since they are buried under the sand. The Corps is now studying what steps they should be taking next. But in the meantime, they are saying anybody who spots a suspicious object in the water is urged to just leave it alone and let the authorities know. A citizens group is pushing for a new solution to the Perdido Key beach access debate. The group wants to bring a proposal before the Escambia Commission next week. And their proposal calls for a 75-foot perpetual easement along the beach, removal of guardrails, increased county management. Mike McCormack with Save Our Beaches says beachgoers have used the sand for decades. Now, property owners on Perdido Key are threatening legal action if customary use were to be allowed. Escambia County wants to hear from the public on plans to rehabilitate the Bob Sykes Fishing Pier on Pensacola Beach. Now, the project involves restoring more than 1,600 feet of the pier and removing a damaged section. It's funded by the Gulf Coast Restoration Trust Fund, with construction expected to begin later this year. Residents have until March 28th to submit comments online. Well, have you filed your 2025 taxes? News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says refunds are up a little bit this year.
The 2026 tax season is officially underway, and early numbers showing refunds are up more than $300, a 14.2% increase from 2025. So far, the agency has received just over 32 million tax returns. The IRS reports that most of the refunds are being issued in under 21 days. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Work on Milton's natural gas line replacement project is moving to new neighborhoods. The city says construction near Elmira Street, Canal Street, and MLK Jr. Drive is wrapping up. Work will be shifting over to Saratoga, Lexington, and Yapan Drive. The city is expecting that phase of work to be complete within about 60 days. They say residents whose gas is turned off during construction will receive a free relighting service from a certified technician. And it is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be dealing with a chance of some showers through the morning hour, 70% chance of rain, high near 72 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies, high near 71. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Heading into Sunday, mostly sunny skies, high near 72. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Stay connected, Channel 3 News. First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it is 5:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies, and it is a very nice morning, 67 degrees here across the area. We'll get your next news at 6 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Instagram said it will start alerting parents if their kids repeatedly search for terms clearly associated with suicide or self-harm. The alerts will only go to parents who are enrolled in Instagram's parental supervision program. The social media platform says it already blocks such content from showing up on teens' accounts search results. Netflix has declined to raise its bid for Warner Brothers Discovery's assets to match a revised bid by Paramount Skydance. Yesterday, the WBD board said it valued Paramount's $31 per share offer to be superior to an existing deal with Netflix. Paramount also agreed to pay the $2.8 billion breakup fee that WBD would owe Netflix if that deal didn't go through. CoreWeave shares fell 8% after the artificial intelligence-focused cloud infrastructure provider delivered light revenue guidance for the current quarter. The company called for $1.9 to $2 billion in first quarter revenue. That came below the $2.3 billion LSEG consensus. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
We're going to be looking for efficiencies in our local governments. If you're a city with a, you know, five cops, I think it's time to start asking your sheriff, is this something that where we can work collaboratively to figure out how we can gain efficiencies and save money that way?
Yeah, so Monique Miller, who was running the House Joint Resolution 203, the one that would eliminate all property taxes on your non-school for your homestead, starting in January, says, look, if you've got a, you know, city police, maybe you need to start talking about hiring the sheriff, because, you know, I mean, it's not like cutting property tax would also cut the sheriff's budget, or, I mean, it's not supposed to, because that's part of the bill. You can't cut law enforcement. So it's odd that they, on the one hand, say you can't cut law enforcement. On the other hand, their solution is to outsource law enforcement and to cut it completely. It's a lot of things about this bill that I don't think really add up, but okay. So I was curious what our representative for the local Pensacola Police Department, Mike Wood, he is the PIO for PPD. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, so good morning to you, except for the rain. You guys, I assume, have had some conversations about this. I know you will do whatever has to be done, but $9 million is the estimate that Pensacola City would lose if this bill went into effect. That's a pretty large hit to the overall budget. I don't know, maybe PPD could just dissolve and outsource to the sheriff.
Well, look, we've heard this before and talked about it over the years of a metropolitan government and one law enforcement agency, and that subject matter kind of comes and goes. But the point is that we're going to provide the quality services that our citizens expect each and every day with the numbers that we have. And, you know, we've seen the numbers low. We've had detectives and administrative personnel that normally aren't on the street put that uniform back on and get on the street and answer those calls. So we're going to do whatever we have to do when we have to do it to make sure our citizens don't see any kind of lapse in our response time or the quality of the services that we provide.
I know. Absolutely. I know you will. Things that have been going on this week. Last Thursday, I think when you and I were talking, you were just getting ready. Your agency was just getting ready to do a kind of a practice drill slash sweep for intruders, homeless, vagrants, whatever, at Baptist Hospital, the old campus. How did that drill go?
It went well. They spent several hours in one of the buildings there, training both on building clearing and actually clearing the building for real to make sure there was nobody living or camping in there before the demolition began. But they also got to use the drones, the robots, and things that they would use in a real scenario to make sure everything is up and running and lubricated and just working well. And it was a good exercise.
Robots.
Yeah, the tracks. I don't know. I'm not part of the SWAT team. They've got a name for that thing. So I'm, you know, when sometimes I'm as confused as a goat on AstroTurf when it comes to these the names, the proper names.
Is that like the little Johnny Five bomb detection robot? Is that the one we're talking about?
Well, maybe. I wouldn't name it. I wouldn't call it that. But it's very useful with cameras to go in places inside buildings that it's just dangerous to put an officer in.
you don't always get a chance to try the gear in a novel situation. And, you know, it's fine to train in the shoot house, but it's better to train in a real place because real places have weird corners and unexpected problems and the floor gives way and, you know, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah, we don't get a choice on where we go when we get called out in a real scenario. So it's nice to go into a place that we've never been before to train and to use this the various equipment that we have.
Absolutely. One of the things that the mayor has been talking, by the way, quiet week, and I know y'all don't like that word, but less intensive call week for what we would call high-profile, newsworthy, and noteworthy crimes, right? No big things to report this week?
Yes, let's go with that phrase. I'm not using the Q word.
I know. I know y'all have a thing about that, and that's fine. I respect that. But one of the things we did have is, and I always love when Tommy was the chief, Tommy Leiter, he always, and I really admired him for this. He said, you know, the biggest threat to private property and personal safety that the police deal with all the time is not crime, it's driving. It's traffic crashes. That hurts, kills, and damages more routinely than anything else. Certainly in our city, and so that's why he was always working on that. But we're seeing this at 14th and Gregory still, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. And this is something, there's two subjects that Mayor Reeves has brought up. One, the unusual amount of crashes at 14th and Gregory, and he's getting people on the state level to look into that. But he's also brought up the initiative of possibly regulating e-bikes. And an e-bike was involved in this crash. Hmm. So you have two problems that that the mayor's office is looking into came together, and unfortunately there was a person injured. They're going to be okay, but it's still a pretty big issue there at 14th and Gregory.
What were they doing? Were they on the going with the flow of traffic? Were they crossing? Because the speed limit is part of the problem. People come off the bridge going too fast, and that intersection comes up pretty quickly, and people crossing there creates an issue. But what was the e-bike actually doing? Do you know?
Disregarded a stop sign.
Okay.
On 14th.
Okay, well, there you go. Okay. And actually, the state has, I think, passed out of committee. I want to think they've got an e-bike regulation that they're working on that would require things like just data collection about the crashes and under what circumstances and who own, you know, does somebody have a driver's license? Not, you know, what level of competency is involved in the people that are involved in them? I don't think it's like to set up a task force to look at it before they start to regulate it. But man, I hear from everybody how these things are, you know, they're motorcycles. I mean, at the speed they're operating at, they don't have an internal combustion engine, but they are functionally, they're low CC motorcycles, right?
Yeah, that's true. And when you have put young people on them and they're not used to going that fast, that stopping distance is something they're not used to between where they are and an object in front of them, and it creates problems.
Yeah, and rules of the road and conditions on the road surface and all of the other things. And I know everybody who drives has seen some crazy things with the e-bikes for sure. We did have an incident that I don't think you and I had talked about on the radio. At least I do not remember if we did, but you had somebody who had allegedly made threats against the PPD chief, Kristen Brown, and also against Mayor D.C. Reeves, and you guys had followed up and apprehended this person. But then this kind of, I mean, a bad outcome took place. Tell me what happened here.
Yes, this person made death threats against the chief and the mayor online. We found out who this person was, issued a warrant, and picked him up. And it's standard to bring them into the police department to do an interview to find out what's going on and try to look at that threat a little bit closer. But during that interview, he said that he was not feeling well and didn't say anything specific, just that he wasn't feeling well. So detectives called the fire department and EMS, both responded, and they transported him to the hospital. And a short time later, we got word that he had passed away. So we don't know exactly what the health condition or the problem was, but it's being looked into.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, unfortunate incident. I mean, he shouldn't have been, you know, doing what he did in the first place. But obviously, it's never the hope that when you apprehend somebody, they have a medical incident and then wind up dying. But, you know, people are people. It does happen. You had maybe one of the great highlights of your career happen over the last week. That is a law enforcement adjacent incident. You managed to have to, I don't know if you were the escort-er or whether you were the escort-e in this particular situation, but I definitely know that you met some people. What joy did you have this last week, Mike Wood?
I'll tell you what I was a starstruck fan in a policeman's uniform. I work at the airport part-time when they need somebody to fill in, and I got there that night, and they said that we're going to need to escort some folks coming in for Pensacon, and I was handed a card that said Eric Estrada, and I about lost it. So, so that's great. They're a childhood hero of mine, and as Mr. Estrada was walking off the aircraft, right behind him was Larry Wilcox, and I maintain your composure, act like the professional and that you're supposed to be, and escort them to the airport. So they were both very nice men. They were more intrigued in talking to a real officer than they were anything else. They had people from all over the room in baggage claim wanting to take pictures with them, but they were very, very interested and appreciative of law enforcement, and it was nice to meet them.
The highlight of eight-year-old Mike's life.
Yeah. If I can just meet the two from Emergency, Kevin Ty and Randolph Mantooth, then it'd be the Holy Grail. So we'll have to work on that.
Well, I mean, and obviously, Yasmin Bleeth and Pamela Anderson. I mean, let's not leave out the lifeguards.
Yeah, see, that not so much when I was a kid. Wasn't too worried about that. I just
I just think it was great. Anyway. You posted pictures on Facebook, and it was great. And that's to me, that's one of the great things about Pensacon is you get to meet these people who you've looked up to, enjoyed, admired, been entertained by, you know, your whole life. And, you know, we're all a little kid inside when we have that experience. And what's cool about them is, like you said, you know, well, they were excited to talk to the real cop, and you were excited to talk to the real actor. And, I mean, you know, everybody's happy. It's a good thing. We always like to end with a bit of a did you know or a cop myth. Do we have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, this is a big one, and I just mentioned that I work at the airport part-time. The Pensacola Police Department is responsible for law enforcement duties at the airport, and one of the problems that we have out there that a lot of people don't, you know, we talk about carrying concealed and weapons and a lot of that often, and people carry weapons in backpacks and things like that on a daily basis, but when it comes time to fly, they forget about that sometimes, and they try to take that loaded weapon through TSA. That is a huge, huge issue. And there are civil penalties for that, depending on whether the gun was loaded. And those penalties can range from $3,000 to over $17,000 for repeat offenders if you just forget that that's in your baggage. So I guess what I'm saying here is before you fly, if you do carry a weapon, make sure you search everything and that weapon is not in there. There's a legal way to take that weapon with you. It must be in a hard container in checked baggage, and you must declare it. While you're checking that bag. But these are very, very stiff fines. And if you have the TSA pre-check, you will lose that for 5 years just by accidentally taking that weapon through TSA.
You know, I actually learned not by carrying a gun, but I had my bag that I normally carry around, and I often have a gun in that bag. Of course, I'm flying, so I took it out. But I got pulled aside because the dog wasn't so happy about my bag. And, you know, they swabbed and they had, I mean, I don't think it wasn't the dog. It was the detection device on the conveyor. And this is years ago. And they swabbed and looked and, you know, I'm trying like, what are you? Oh, the gunpowder, you know, even just a little bit of that gunpowder residue is, you know, was enough. And so, yeah, no, that's a great reminder for people. Make sure that if you're accustomed to having a gun, make sure that you do not take it through the airport. Because as you said, it happens all the time, right?
Yeah, it does. That and ammunition. So just please check all of your baggage before you go through there to save yourself a lot of headaches and financial, a huge bill that will come to you.
Yeah, no, great reminder. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. 551 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. If you have a company and you have employees and you have to deal with benefits, health, vision, disability, life, of course, also, you know, HR tools and management and payroll, I mean, all the businessy kind of stuff, the red tapey kind of stuff that nobody really goes into business because you go into business because you like something else, like doing, you know, medical procedures or explaining and defending people from legal issues or, you know, building houses. And then when you have employees, you have, all of this. Well, if you don't want to have to deal with it, or if you'd like to find out if maybe there's a better way to deal with it, give Torgerson Consulting a call. This is what they do. They help you with all of that stuff for more than 20 years, helping local companies do it for us here at News Radio in Cat Country. We've been using them for 5 years, since 2021, and they've been great. Okay, I mean, I'll be honest. You know, when it comes to the healthcare plans that are out there, I mean, the market is terrible. They can't fix that. That's not their job. Their job is to scour the market and find the best available ones. And they do. They find the best available ones. And they bring them to us. And then when we have questions, they answer them. They're great at customer service, super responsive. You know, my wife is a industrial engineer. That means she's an efficiency expert, and she asks questions, and they have answers. And she loves them. She doesn't really approve of insurance people almost ever because usually they don't. They're usually kind of in sales rather than in the details, and they're, you know, both, which is amazing. Anyway, have them come out to your business, look over what you're doing, and see if there's a way to do it better or cheaper or both. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Daniel will not stop crying. I changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Runners Association presents the Bay to Breakfast Trail Run Saturday morning. Enjoy the beauty and challenge of an 8K trail run and breakfast after the run. See runsignup.com. Friday through Sunday, check out the Pensacola Dog Fanciers Annual Dog Show at the Escambia County Equestrian Center. Enjoy the show, displays, and the health clinic. See PensacolaDogs.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, gentlemen, you had my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
Be honest, John, doesn't it make you a little happy to hear some of these old 30, almost 20 or 30 year old contemporary Christian music songs?
Oh, it does, man. It brings back great memories.
I know. It's funny. I was just making a bumper out of Toby Mac's song, Extreme Days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, all the kids who bought those like sampler discs back in the day are going to love when I play that. And everybody who didn't is going to be like, I mean, it's a cool song, but I don't know it. That's fine. All right, 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Former President Bill Clinton will testify before a House committee today about his links to Jeffrey Epstein. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton was grilled about her alleged ties to Epstein. The former First Lady accused Republicans of trying to keep the focus off of President Trump.
He never met him. He doesn't know him. He's never been to the island. There are no pictures of him at the island, no matter what the pictures actually say. And that's your story.
That's
just like she said.
What pictures?
I don't even know who he was. Ghislaine Maxwell at my daughter's wedding. What are you talking about? Never heard of her. hey, you know, why not try it? What do you got to lose? You got no charges for criminal activity, so.
That's true. The FAA shutting down airspace near the Texas-Mexico border again after the U.S. military accidentally shot down a Customs and Border Protection drone. The closure affects an area about 50 miles south of El Paso, where airspace was temporarily closed after a similar incident earlier this month. And a U.S. citizen was one of four people killed on that Florida speedboat off the coast of Cuba this week. Six others aboard the boat were injured, including another American, leading to increased tensions between Cuba and the U.S.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Interesting couple of notes about military activity, not, you know, involving Venezuela, but involving things that we're testing and trying to accomplish. We had an MQ-20 drone, and I'm trying to think of what I could describe this. Think of any of the more recent movies that you've seen with drones like flying through, you know, regular airspace and attacking people. Kind of one of those. I mean, it looks like a sort of a hybrid cross between an old Predator or a Reaper and an F-22, frankly. It's got that V-back wing. Anyway, it's a big, big, ugly, cool, amazing, scary drone. The drone was being flown and controlled by an F-22 pilot. So you now have an F-20, which is the baddest plane ever made. bad and good. He was flying a mock mission, demonstrated the robot wingman concept during a flight earlier this month at Edwards Air Force Base in California. He used Autonodyne, Bashi pilot vehicle interface to order the autonomous drone to execute tactical maneuvers, move waypoints, conduct combat patrols, and take on threat engagements and tasks. So he's flying two planes at the same time. Although it's largely being done, you know, semi-autonomously, but he's also giving it instruction and inputting it. So we're there. number two. Similar but not same, Anduril, which is a company's, their drone wingman, started armed flight testing this month, marking a next major milestone for the Air Force Collaborative Combat Aircraft Program. They began captive carry evaluations in February, strapping inert munitions to Anduril's prototype drone wingman. The weapons have not yet been fired, the service said in a statement, stressing that a human retains authority over weapons release decisions with an implied for now. General Kenneth Wilsbach, Air Force Chief of Staff, showed an image during his keynote address at Air and Space Forces Association's conference Monday showing Anduril's YFQ-44A carrying an AIM-120 advanced medium-range air-to-air missile, or AMRAM. So that's true. Meanwhile, and I say this because you want to keep things like that in mind during the discussion about Anthropic and Claude. Remember the military started to use AI? It was something that was a big deal for Pete Hegseth. And we had, for example, you know, Sinatra chief came in and told us about how, you know, it's on everybody's desktop. And this is something that the Secretary of War has been working on. You may have seen a passing headline about, you know, the company Anthropic and, you know, the military ditching Anthropic and their concerns, you know, and whether Claude is really living up to its expectations or doing what it should be doing. The two key things that are part of the safety protocols, for example, in Anthropic, is that it is not to be able to operate completely without human supervision. It's not supposed to be operate to use weapons. And the military is like, we'll take off those security retainers. And they're like, no. The reason we're good is we're not like the other AIs. We won't just do anything. We're safer. So it should concern you. And now the Pete Hegseth is using intense leverage trying to get them to take those safety protocols off. So there's your news. Stream.